So here we are in Advent, this time of getting ready, of watching and waiting for the coming of hope and love, breaking into the world and into our own hearts. And here we are also in what's widely called the holiday season, this time of celebrating and shopping and unrealistic expectations. And I don't want to be too grinchy, because I know, and I do this at least partially, but some of us really love the way our culture celebrates Christmas and Hanukkah and solstice and other holy days, the gift-giving, the feasting, the decorating. And at the same time, I am mindful that for others, this month particularly brings painful reminders of what we have lost. We feel the absence of those who have died or who are separated from us. It's hard. And the best that we can do is to try and get through. As one country song puts it, if we make it through December. So whether you love the celebrations that this month brings, or whether you are just trying to get through, or whether you are somewhere in the middle, I want to remind you today, there is another way, a deeper, more satisfying way. Beyond the commercialism, the tinsel, and the presence, beyond the demands to be merry, whether you feel like it or not, the reason for this season is the 2,000-year-old story of hope in a time of fear, of light shining in the darkness. I love the musical telling of this story, Handel's Messiah, and it was all I could do not to close my eyes and pretend that I was in the car and just singing along. But you have to have restraint, right? So I'm more grateful than I can say to Neil and Fred for bringing those pieces to our service this morning. We just heard that text, both sung and read from the prophet Isaiah. It's one of the prescribed Advent readings. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This passage of comfort was written in very uncomfortable times, during what's called the Babylonian exile. The Hebrew nation of Judah had been invaded by the Babylonians to the north and defeated by their army. The Hebrew leaders were taken prisoner and transported back to Babylon, held in exile there, and the nation was occupied by the Babylonian army. The Hebrew prophets believed that all this had happened because of their nation's unfaithfulness. Their leaders had turned away from God, had forgotten the prophet's call to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly. To the prophets and to the people, this terrible defeat proved to them that God was no longer on their side, and it created a theological crisis. If we are no longer God's people, then who are we? It was not a happy time, to say the least. And into the midst of this crisis comes the author of the lines that we heard this morning, speaking on behalf of the heavenly host, saying, "Your fighting and your suffering, they're over. You have paid more than you even needed to for your sins. Now is the time to make ready for the Holy One, to make straight in the desert a highway for God to lead us back home. The glory of the Lord is going to be revealed, and we are all going to see it together." But we need to remember these words were written by a prophet who was being held captive against his will in a foreign land. He didn't know if he was ever going to get back home. He had no rational reason to believe that this vision would ever come to pass. But it was the message that he had discerned from God. "Take comfort, my people. I am with you still." One commentator calls this passage the turn toward hope, because the previous 39 chapters have been pretty much bad news in Isaiah. That commentator says the people did not earn this shift from wrath to mercy. God granted it. And I wonder if we can even hear this today. We live in a society so rooted in both our Puritan heritage and our capitalist ideology that teaches us it's all up to us. We're rugged individuals, right? We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and everything we have, we've earned and we deserve. That's what we're taught, right? This season turns that upside down and invites us to see that our lives are not something to be achieved, but rather to be received. Advent invites us to try on a different way, to be open to gifts that we have done nothing to earn or deserve. Rather than running around so much, to sit with the darkness, to wait and wonder, is there any room in here for God? Advent is about being in touch with our hungers enough and being humble enough that we can cry out, "Come, thou fount of every blessing." One of the gifts of parish ministry is that I regularly get reminded of my own limitations and inadequacy. I am regularly being pushed to my knees, where I ask for God's help, where I pray for you and for myself. On Friday, church member Laura Morley, granddaughter of our former minister, Reverend Janet Bowring, posted a picture of her son William on Facebook with these words: "This morning he reminded me that Advent is the season of waiting and being patient. Someone has been paying more attention than I realized." This season is about listening to the voices of children and prophets crying in the wilderness. Theirs are not the voices saying, "Hurry up, do more, buy more, because you will never have or be enough." No, theirs are the voices saying, "Be present, pay attention, be patient. Be expectant. Be still for a change. I know it can be easier these days to be cynical, to be anxious, to be resigned. Wendell Berry writes, "When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be." You know what this is like too, don't you? We live in fearful times, and in this season, the expectations just get amped up. And those sad and painful memories come close for many of us. You could be tempted to power through or to check out. But beneath these human impulses, there is also a deeper call to put yourself in the presence of that which is holy and good. To trust that in the waiting and in the watching, we will see there is more going on than meets the eye. We will remember that we are part of a great love, which is breaking into our hearts and into our world. In the voices of children, in moments of breathtaking beauty, in times of connection, in moments of grace when we experience what Isaiah was talking about, and the glory shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. But this is no mushy, sentimental hope. It is a hard-won hope, born in exile when there was no evidence things were going to get better. It's like the hope of the prisoner longing for release, the hope of the parent waiting for their child to come home. It's living in expectation of what is not yet able to be seen. In these days when it could be easy to fall into despair, the invitation is to keep turning toward hope, to trust that we are not alone, that our prayers are heard, that love does abide, in spite of all the evidence to the contrary. So please do what you can to keep an open and tender heart. Make time for what feeds your own soul. Stay after church today for yoga or to reflect on hope. Come to Vespers on Wednesdays if you can. Make space for what feeds you. Light a candle. Pray for peace. Seek out ways to be of use. And if holding on to hope seems impossible to you right now, seems too big of a task to bear, if putting one foot in front of the other is all that you can manage these days, then keep doing that. And try not to feel bad about that. Trust that there are others here holding the hope for you, that we will watch and wait with you until you are able to take up hope again. I made copies of today's readings in case you want to take them home with you. They're on purple paper at the back of the sanctuary and on the table at coffee hour. Maybe you'll want to make them part of your Advent practice this month. My prayer for each of us in this season is that we will feel the blessing and the peace and the urgency of these days, that we will be awake to the wonder and the promise right here in our midst. And so I offer you this blessing for Advent, the words of Jan Richardson. "Blessed are you who bear the light in unbearable times, who testify to its endurance amid the unendurable, who bear witness to its persistence when everything seems in shadow and grief. Blessed are you in whom the light lives, in whom the brightness blazes, your heart a chapel, an altar where in the deepest night can be seen the fire that shines forth in you, in unaccountable faith, in stubborn hope, in love that illumines every broken thing it finds. Amen.